HR Talk with JC and Ricky Baez. This is The Face. Happy birthday, Jesus. It is Merry Christmas. Look, there's a lot of things that you could do at work for celebrating this in particular holiday. Secret Santa being one of them. I think it's a bunch of crap. I got to buy a gift for somebody I don't like. Probably somebody that don't like me is buying a gift for me. But if it's somebody I do like, and I get their name, and they get mine, we're getting some cool shit. Oh, it's another intro. Again, I've been here all freaking weekend, and I still hadn't got paid. This is HR Talk. JC and Ricky Baez. I am the face of the franchise for now. You know, we just did, I don't know, we're on number 117,000 intros, and I'm like, you guys have an inflated opinion of yourself if you think you're going to have that many episodes. So, anyway, we'll leave it right there.
And, ladies and gentlemen, that is the face of the franchise kicking us off here on the holiday week for HR Talk. Across the bow, down in Florida, Ricky Baez. How you doing today?
You know what, JC? Any employer in this wonderful nation that we live in would be happy and lucky to have an employee like the face. They really would. He is just full of joy and honesty. It's just every time I listen to him, I get all giddy inside. I'm doing good, man.
I get giddy. I also get concerned. He says some really crazy stuff, dude. You know, I mean, he's a good buddy. We all go back quite a ways, but wow,
love him, man. I love it.
He brings up a point, though, with the Secret Santa stuff. He really does. And I was kind of hoping that we could talk about that with our guest that's on today. So let me toss it back to you. Let's get right in it. If I'm not mistaken, Rick, I think that we have one of the highest profile, world renowned HR bloggers with one of the largest Twitter followings. She's been on countless episodes of other podcasts for HR, if I'm not mistaken, that aren't us. And that's okay. It's her first time out here. And she's also got the roots with you down in Central Florida. Is that right?
That is correct. Ladies and gentlemen, we have on the show with us today, Miss Amanda Brunson. She is an HR young professional, and she's still fairly new to the HR world, but she works for a rapidly growing consulting firm here in Central Florida, and she is their HR generalist. She's an active SHRM member and is heavily involved in volunteering in various capacities. So she is also currently on the SHRM Young Professionals Advisory Council, and she is the communications and marketing director for the Greater Orlando SHRM chapter. And fun fact about Amanda, she earned her SHRM CP credentials earlier this year, which that's hard to get. And she is originally from West Virginia. She's a huge fan of everything Disney. In fact, one of her favorite quotes of all time by Disney is, "If you can dream it, you can do it." Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Amanda Brunson.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
So, West Virginia to Orlando? How did that happen?
Well, I was ready for grad school after going up to community college and decided I wanted to study human resources. So I started looking for a school, and I found Rollins College, which at the time I had no idea where it was at. But then I looked it up, and you know, you just said how much I love Disney, and I found out how close Rollins was to Disney. So I'm like, I'm going there. I didn't apply anywhere else. I'm just like, I'm going to make sure I do everything I can to make sure I get in here. And I did. So here I am, and I just decided I didn't want to go back. So,
so we kept you. Awesome.
You did.
So the big anchor is Disney, not school. not the weather. It's just Disney, huh? So if Disney was to relocate to Montana, you would just leave.
Well, I might go to like California because there's like Disneyland out true. There. So.
Now we're talking.
Nice. So JC, you wanted to jump into the topic about Secret Santa, right? So as far as Secret Santa is concerned, I know the face was talking about it, or even Amanda, you as well. So as far as Secret Santa, do you do that at your job right now, or have you done it before? What do you feel about it? What do you think of it?
We don't do Secret Santa. We do a White Elephant Gift Exchange.
What's that one again?
That one's where you bring in like some type of silly gifts, or it could be a real gift if you wanted, but basically everybody just brings a gift, and then anybody that participates, you like draw a number, you go up, pick a gift, you can keep it or steal from someone else.
It's like take one down, pass it around. It's like 99 bottles of beer in a way. Yeah.
The really funny thing about it, though, we realized last year we have a drinking problem because all but one gift was alcohol related.
Welcome to HR.
That's like my company. That wasn't like my department because I'm the only HR person in my company, or I was at that point in time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go wrong with a bottle of rum or a bottle of scotch. I mean, who's going to say no to – I mean, I know people who would say no to that. But secretly, they'll just take it, put it in the trunk of their car.
Yeah. I ended up with a box of wine, but the only reason I stole it was for the little bottles of Fireball. And then I was like, I don't care about the boxed wine. I just want the Fireball.
So here you're talking about how we're a bunch of drunks at work, but you stole the bottle of you stole the box of wine.
Yeah, it's true. It's still in my refrigerator. I haven't really touched it.
A year later. Right. So, JC, do you do the whole white elephant or a Secret Santa at work?
No, I haven't. But when we used to do the Secret Santa thing, I don't do it anymore. There was a point in time when we did the Secret Santa, and then you drew the names, and then gifts were going around. But there was always like a cap, a limit. There was like you couldn't spend more than X amount of dollars. But then, like, you had crafty people stepping in line, you know, like people that might make crafts with their cats, yeah. Right? So then they're making something that the value is actually $120, but it costs them like $10, and you get it, and it's like, wow, this is an amazing painting put onto like a matted frame inside of a crocheted pillow blanket type thing. And it's done with cat paws, and it's fantastic. Don't get me wrong, but there's no way that thing's $10 on the open market. That thing's $120. And then like, you know, people start arguing because they want the cat crafts and we're not doing like the white elephant kind of thing. And there's no alcohol involved either. So then it turns into a bigger issue. And then like real emotions get hurt. And I worry a lot about emotions. I do. And when we're talking about like the Secret Santa type stuff, and then you've got people that don't necessarily participate in some of the holidays, but they're like good friends of yours at work, then it turns into like another issue then too. You know what I mean? So I think it's just kind of gotten to the point to where we just do food. And we sit around and we stare at each other for like 2 hours. And everyone's like, how about that year we did Secret Santa? Yeah, that was neat. How you been? You know, and we just keep it real random and quiet now. You know what I mean?
I don't think I've had anybody do anything crafty. I don't know if I've ever worked with anybody that's like that. Everybody actually bought something really interesting.
Oh, dude, but cat crafts. It's a whole thing. Go on Twitter. Go right? On the Instagram. Go anywhere. Amanda, you know what I'm talking about. Do you or don't you? Crafts with cats. No?
Okay.
No, she's laughing. She's laughing. She's not commenting, though. She's not commenting.
That sounds like something I would do because I have two, and they both ended up on my Christmas cards this year.
There you go.
Now we're talking. Cat there crafts. There it is. That's bedazzled. Exactly what I'm talking about.
Glitter everywhere, a light. Boom. That is awesome. All right. So it's – I don't know about you guys. I know that whenever I've done Secret Santa before, we've always have to fill out a form that says, what do we like?
What?
What do we don't like? Yeah, dude. It's so my
like
whole team.
Like a contractual agreement?
No, not a contract. An intake form to see what you like, your favorite restaurants. That way, they can get you something you like. And
Oh my god! I got a great idea. Idea for you and for everyone out there. Let's go the way of technology that HR is going, and let's have one of those online onboarding intake forms for all of this, and then we can run metrics on that.
That's exactly what happened.
Get
so
out of here.
Intake forms to see what you like. That way, the person who got your name could get you something you liked. And right. I mean, I get it. It's nice and it's sweet. But the way I'm looking at it is, I'm like, that kind of defeats the purpose, right? Because if I know you and I've been paying attention to you all year, I'm going to get you something based on what you like of what I have observed all year long. So I'm like, okay. You guys go ahead and do it, but I'm not going to fill it out. You get me whatever you want to get me. So here's what happened. So last year, one of my employees, the person who got my name, got me one of those Google Home Minis.
All right.
You know, those pods?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, these are awesome. They were so great that I bought 7 more at Costco 2 weeks later. Now my whole house is Google Home. Everything is Google Home in my house, and I just bought the Google Home Hub.
Yeah, know that coworker put software on there, and they know everything about you now. You know what I mean? Two in the morning, your thing's waking up. Would you like for me to send the text? You know what I mean?
If that were true, she would have called the cops already and got me committed. But yeah, it's
all right. So Amanda, come on, enough of you, Rick. We've got this fantastic Amanda with us here. What about you, though? What about you?
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, seriously, man. What about you? What about the gifts, the exchanges, the Secret Santa? Not just the liquor and the wine bladders, because I know that's a fantastic time. But do you send Christmas cards? Do you send Hanukkah cards or Kwanzaa cards or whatever you do to your coworkers at their home? I mean, where does that line get drawn sometimes in the small organization compared to the larger organization? And what have you ever run into?
Well, I think I just, hand out cards to my coworkers. But like we have coworkers all over the country. So, you know, it's mostly, you know, in the office that I'm at, but, you know, we'll invite the other ones. We have a big holiday party and, you know, they all get invited and we'll see each other. And, we actually, had a photographer. I hired a photographer to come to our holiday party this year to take like photos for everyone, as like a gift to them. So I thought that would be pretty cool. Anybody that showed up, they all seemed to enjoy that. And
here's a big question for you. I'm going to fire right back. Coming right back at you. You're talking about like the holiday parties. You're talking about people getting together with food, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
What about the considerations of like the vegan plate or like the religious accommodations with food and stuff like that? Or you know that Susan down the road there in operations makes a mean mac and cheese with golden retriever hair in it. You know, what do you do? How do you tackle these things from an HR perspective?
Well, usually we don't let people bring the food themselves. Like for our holiday party, it's at a restaurant, so they're catering the food. But I guess we do sometimes have a potluck. We just ask everybody to kind of be considered. I think everybody knows, you know, we all kind of know each other pretty well. So we know what people like and don't like and what they can have. So
I'm sorry, Amanda. I need to jump in here real quick. So JC, does something happen to you? This is the third time you bring up that same scenario about Susan from down the hall, with golden retriever hair in the food. What happened?
It happens from time to time where, like, you know, someone is an amazing cook and they do have golden retrievers at home. And then next thing you know, you're in the middle of, like, making calzones or something. You bring them into work and then you got the golden retriever hair coming out with the, you think it's mozzarella. And it's actually golden retrieves, you know? And that's never a good time. It's not a good look, you know?
It's always the name Susan,
And then the funny part from there is, well, it's not really funny, but then, like, when we're talking about, like, religious accommodation and potlucks and food and holiday parties and stuff, and someone does, I made this amazing tenderloin, this fantastic tenderloin. Is it beef? Yeah, it's beef. It turns out it was pork tenderloin. And then under the religious guise of half the people that are there, they lose their top because they just ate pork for 2 hours and you never told them.
True. So I think it's important that everybody knows, you know, is honest. And luckily in my organization, we're all very, you know, smart and intelligent and, you know, respect each other. So I think that, you know, they would, you know, be honest and open with that kind of thing. And,
all right, I'm jumping right on that, Amanda, if you're ready for it. You're talking about honest and open. You're talking about hitting the gas on some things and having some fun. You in that read had something to do with being one of those, what's that called? The Sherm blogger, right?
Yeah,
tell me a little bit about that. What is that? That's a special torch to carry, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right?
Oh my gosh. I know. When I was first asked about it, you know, I had been so kind of backing up a little bit how I got into it. I got involved with the Sherm Young Professional Advisory Council this year. And as a part of that, I became the social media lead just because through my interest and anybody that knows me with the Greater Orlando Sherm knows that I'm like a whiz on social media. So they were like, they knew kind of how I was with that. So they gave me that title. And with doing the social media lead, I had a couple of roles and responsibilities. One of them was to host Next Chats on Twitter through Sherm.
Okay, what is that? What is that? What's a Next Chat?
Yeah.
We see them all the time. A lot of people in HR are like, you know, not real hip on Twitter sometimes or just getting onto it. And they're like, Next Chat. What is it? What's the deal?
So Next Chat is a Twitter chat every Wednesday. And basically it's hosted through the Sherm Next Chat Twitter account. And every week they have a different host. And they pick a topic of interest to them or that they're, you know, that they understand a little bit about so they can, they're the expert. And so the host is on there answering the questions, but anybody, any HR professional, any professional, anybody that wants to participate, you don't have to be HR, but that's primarily the audience that participates. They jump in and they answer the questions. And it's just really a way to share knowledge, share experience. And, you know, get knowledge because sometimes they talk about things that I have no idea about. And I see a lot of other people jump in. They're like, I'm just here to learn. So it's just a great learning experience.
So is that highly regulated by Sherm or is that something that's kind of open in discussion or do you have to keep it confined to a series of guidelines as per that organization?
Not really. I think, I mean, Sherm, of course, is the one that's leading it with the with the questions. But I think as long as and there's like sometimes a lot of debates and you'll see people going back and forth. And but it's pretty open. And I think
what's been the most heated debate you have seen in that platform?
Oh, gosh. Put me on the spot.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I remember the first Next Chat I did was about resumes. And because it was hosted by the Young Professional Group, we were leaning more towards the young professionals. And there was one huge thread about resumes and what somebody, and I don't remember exactly what the thread was about now, but I just know there was a huge debate. There were some people that didn't agree with what others were saying. And we're like, you know, everybody has their own opinion. So I just tried to do their discussion.
So coming from a young professional's perspective, as far as because that is a good topic. That is a really good topic today because a lot of people are transitioning from being a student to being a professional, and they have a different way of thinking as far as how they market themselves.
Right.
And they're marketing themselves to a group of people, i.e. the recruiters, HR managers, business leaders, the people who make the hiring decisions, and they have a completely different way of thinking as far as how you should market themselves. So what example or what advice would you give that student who's looking to get into that working world to see how they can get in front of those eyes so they can get that yes to come into work? So what advice would you give them from a resume perspective?
Yeah. So I actually, have like a four-step and I'll kind of make it really brief, but the first thing I always recommend is that, you know, students find a mentor, you know, early on. someone they can look up to and that can provide them the advice that they need.
Someone not Ricky. Someone that is not Ricky Bias, right?
I don't know about that. I've heard him speak before. He does a pretty good job.
All right. Mic drop. Thank you, Amanda.
So finding a mentor is important. Identifying resources. So, you know, if you are a student that's interested in HR that wants to be more involved, you know, going to your student SHRM chapter if they have one, or your professional chapter, you know, just trying to identify the resources that you can get from that. And, you know, that also kind of leads into the networking piece. I am a huge proponent of, of networking. I think it's very important, and actually got my current job through networking. And I know several other people that, that have as well. So, you know, networking is super important. And the one thing I like to say is, you know, the one thing people have always said that it's not what you know, it's who you know, but I like to take it a step further and say that it's not what who you know, but what they know about you. And, you know, because
knowledge dropped right there. Knowledge dropped. That's why we heard the more you know jingle right there. Absolutely. You're 100% correct. Ricky's chomping at the bit on that one. It's a fantastic piece of advisement, though, right?
You know, I know a lot of people. I know both of you guys, but I don't know a lot about you. So could I recommend you for a job? Sure. But would I really be able to give a great recommendation? I don't know. You know, I have a really good friend, and her undergrad degree was in HR, but her master's was in healthcare. So I knew when she was looking for a job, she wanted to be, you know, in healthcare as an HR professional. And as soon as I found out that there was a position in healthcare and HR that was available, I was like, hey, this my friend would be perfect. And she actually got that job. So I recommended her for it. So that kind of ties into your networking.
So you said something really interesting there, because you're right. It's the people you know. I mean, you can recommend them, but you got to be careful, though.
Right.
That you got to be careful who you recommend. Do you know them as well as you think you do when you recommend them?
Right.
And don't just focus about doing something nice. Just make sure you know that person, because at the end of the day, what that hiring authority is going to remember when that recommendation turns up horribly, it's you.
Right.
They're going to remember you, and that is your credibility.
Exactly.
So what I would add to that is, it's yes, recommend people, shake those hands, and network as much as you can. And it is not who you know is who likes you, but you have to like them as well and know what they do well, right?
Right.
Because you got to protect your credibility elsewhere as well. So you're 100% right.
You know, dude, it also kind of – we've seen this a lot, like going to a bunch of the – different disrupts as well, you and I, and interfacing with a lot of people. It's also that follow-up too, right? Like, you've got that good connection. You might have a good social media presence with them back and forth, and then you meet face-to-face, and then you start that networking process of really pressing the flesh, right? Shaking hands and getting to put things together at a different level, and then it just all drops off or falls away, and then you lose a lot of that good work that went into building those relationships over time. Following through is sometimes, I don't know, I've found it to be key.
Yeah.
But do you know why it falls down? Why people don't follow up? Because they started that relationship for the wrong reasons. They had the wrong intention off the bat, because they wanted to maybe get something out of that person right then and there, and it doesn't materialize at that point in time. They're like, oh, okay, I'm done with this person, instead of really focusing on building that relationship.
Yeah, you got a good point there.
If you really focus on building that relationship and you work on feeding that relationship, then the byproduct is going to be that person is going to give you their recommendation when that perfect job does come up for you. So the point being, don't have an agenda when you meet somebody. Really genuinely try to help that person and see what you can do and be of service. And the fruits of that labor will come back to you tenfold later on. But as a young professional, hold on. I'm going to back up real quick. Amanda, why did you want to get into HR? I want to know that piece. Why?
So I know I, whenever anybody asks me this, I always give the cliche answer because I do like to help people. I like to be that person, and I want to be able to help people find their dreams. And if that dream is, you know, the job that I can offer them, you know, and I also love to make sure that they're engaged. I love doing employee engagement activities and just making sure that everybody's happy and has what they need, and just really being a huge advocate for my employees. And so just love it.
I have a question for you. When you're talking about engagement, though, does it ever get weird when a lot of employees get engaged? Like the relationship aspect in the workplace and stuff, it's weird to a point, right?
I have not actually experienced that yet, so but it does sound like it could be
Amanda,
weird.
Amanda, people like JC is the reason why the HR profession exists. Okay? Because he always takes things to the completely weird level.
Hey, man, all right. I heard engagement parties, and I had this image in my head of like, all right, you've been remotely dating. Let's come on down to the lunchroom today.
No, I was referring more to those like team building events, you know, like, you know, taking the team to Topgolf or to Dave and Buster's, having a good time.
So people still do that.
Not engagement.
So people still do that, though. I mean, like, come on, Rick, you can't lie. When's the last time you went together with your team somewhere?
Actually, a couple of days ago. Actually, a couple of days ago.
I think my day job's at the wrong spot. You guys are all doing all the good things. Holy crap. Seriously. I got to go to the water fountain the other day, and it was free. It was free. It had tons of water. I was so excited.
I mean, you're asking the wrong question because this is the time of year when a lot of teams do go out for dinner and do team building events.
Yeah. So when that happens, it's good for the leader or supervisor to step up and fit the bill, or does everyone chip in at a certain dollar amount? What do you do?
It depends on the size of your team, and right. It depends on the organization. Okay. Because sometimes if it's a big enough organization with a big budget, then yeah, the company can pick it up. And if you got a team of about 8-10 people, you guys go to a high-end steakhouse, yeah, that manager's going to have a hard time.
All right. Hang on. Here's something that I'm shocked that never took off. And I'm going to pitch this out there to the both of you. It was kind of like that unwritten rule for years upon years upon years. Just when you get the bill, take the tax, double it, and there's your tip, right? Or you're going to leave 10, 15, 20% for your tip on the meal. And depending on where you go. You know what I mean? So it's like the tipping thing, it was this urban myth thing till a few years ago. And now when you get your bill, depending on where you are, and if you're in the bigger cities, it's been this way for many, many years. Smaller cities, it's still new. But it comes out on the bill, and it's got the percentages recommended what you should tip down below, right? We've all seen that. We know it. We love it. So why isn't there a tiered structure that's already in place that says, if your title is manager, supervisor, or director, you're picking up 20, 30, 50, or 75% of the bill. You know what I mean? Cut it down. Cut it down a different way, you know?
I don't know what to say to that. Yeah, sure. I guess. I don't know what restaurant POS system would do that. So, and by the way, point of sale is what I meant by that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's right outside
sure
of my office.
Sure, you're dead. Sure, you're dead.
So I don't know what kind of system would do that. I don't know. It depends on the organization and the person. I mean, it's I don't know. It does. It depends.
Yep.
Yeah, JC, what would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah.
Well, if we hypothetically went somewhere to eat food or drink together, I would definitely I'd do my part. I'll leave it that vague. But I've had it in the past where I've been in Vegas, we've had the big meetings, the big team meetings, we've gotten a bunch of people together from all over the country. I put down the credit card and taken care of it. It's part of a budgeted business expense that I plan for in advance. And there I've done that without hesitation or delay. I've also been in the other situations where it's been more like take care of your own. Know what I mean? So everyone has their own portion of the bill, and we're all going in up to $50 a piece, and that's pretty much about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It depends on the situation. If it's a regular restaurant, I don't know, the bill comes up to about, I don't know, it's $200-$300. Yeah, pick it up. If it comes up to $2,400, you're going to have an issue when you get home.
$200 or $300? Right? Where are you taking them? McDonald's?
Well, if
I'll take them to the fancy Red Robin. Know what I mean? I mean, like, really, man? Take them to one of those steakhouses or something. Rick, what are you doing? $200-$300. Take care of your employees.
I mean, look, if you got a team of four, $200-$300 is not going to be enough.
No, team of four, the bill should at least be $400 to $500. Hands
what
down.
What kind of
where do you go?
Yeah, you, Amanda.
Okay, let's think about this. You got your filet mignon or your lobster, your surf and turf. So you're sitting in already? That like $60 to $80 range right there. Then you got a bottle of wine, some appetizers. By the time you divvy this up, you're talking to anywhere from $100 to $200 an employee after the third bottle of wine and Uber. And you're paying for Uber. Yes.
I don't know where you work, but I don't know about that. Maybe a big Wall Street, you know, investment company, something, but not HR. With human resources, we go get Mexican. We go where we got happy hour and really enjoy. That's what we did this past Friday. Went to happy hour, hung out right before the holidays. Had a blast. It was fun.
Don't talk down Mexican, man. Remember when you came up here and I took you to the Mexican restaurant? And there were four of us. There were four of us, and that bill was near $200.
The hell it was.
The hell that it was. That no, absolutely it was.
Those tacos were $8.
They're high class tacos. Don't you put that on them.
They were
Don't you put that on them around the holidays.
There's no way. You had these carne asada. That was $12.99.
Carne asada was like $15.
I had a water. How much was that water?
Exactly. Well, I think it was like $2 or $3. Those were the special cubes.
I get it.
The low nitrogen cubes.
It makes sense. It makes sense because you think $200-$300 pesos. That's what's happening.
You're killing me right
Yeah.
now.
Wrong currency, JC.
All right, I'm out. Okay. You talk to Amanda for a minute.
Yeah. No, it's $200. Amanda, don't listen to him. So, all right. So, Amanda's like, what the hell?
I mean, I took a team of 15 to a Mexican restaurant, and it was about $200. So that's I don't know what kind of Mexican restaurants y'all are going to where four of you cost that much.
JC, she said 15.
It depends 15, how much you're drinking. Five. Depends how much you're drinking, right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
at lunchtime, zero.
The right answers. HR talk. Space Force.
15, wow. So, okay, so Amanda, I understand. Actually, we met at the last Disrupt HR event, and JC and I was just talking to you before the show, and we asked you, did you come to the table to come talk to us? And what did you say?
I said I was a little nervous and I didn't make it over there.
All right. So I have to call you out on this, right? Because you say you was a little nervous and you didn't come to the table. But JC and I have heard you on other podcasts that you were not nervous on. What's that about?
So yeah. I'm not one that like can sometimes think off the top of my head and I get caught off guard if I don't know what I'm going to be talking about.
You're doing really good right now.
You're doing amazing, actually. Better than most.
You're doing really good right now.
So maybe I just need to build my confidence.
You build it with us anytime, sister. You're in the trust tree now. You are.
So, okay,
you've taken the step through social media to interconnect with HR professionals across the globe. You really have. And nationally, you're making a name for yourself left and right. And on the Twitter, you're very active. You haven't followed us back, but that's fine. We're going to get there. And and past that, though, what are some tips that you have for people out there that are dipping their toes into the waters from a professional perspective when it comes down to the use of Twitter and interconnecting with people?
I think just, you know, going through participating in chat. So you've got, you know, the next chat every Wednesday at 3, you've got Wendy and John do the HR social hour on the last Sunday of the month.
And that's a SHRM thing?
That one is like the HR tribes, if anybody's ever heard that term. There's just anybody that, you know, wants to be part of the HR tribe can be. And It's like a hashtag that you can follow. So if you have a question about the HR profession, you can say, hey, HR Tribe, hashtag HR Tribe. You know, I want to do this. Can you help? Or there's just a big group of people that will just, you know, come and provide guidance. And, you know, if you go to the National SHRM Conference, there's always huge meals where we all meet up and get together. And it's like, you know, a family reunion once a year. And even smaller groups have started doing little things like I saw the people in like Illinois and Milwaukee and all those areas, like they got together yesterday or to meet. So it's just really cool how we all just kind of come together, but just getting out there, following these chats, participating, following people, and, you know, communicating with them, connecting with them, and not only on Twitter, but on LinkedIn, and just making it a point to follow up with them, and don't just follow them and don't ever reach out, you know, actually connect with them and see how you can work together.
And Amanda, what's some of the best ways people could find you on Twitter, if you don't mind?
So I am at the HR Panda, which is my name there. I'm on LinkedIn. And I also run the GoSHRM Twitter account.
Amanda.
Oh, I also have a blog. So The Future of HR. I run that with my friend Lorena. So it's at The Future of HR for that Twitter as well. So you can kind of get like one step ahead whenever we release our blogs every week. So
Nice.
So your Twitter handle, you got to say that with some oomph. HR Panda. That's who you are.
Panda.
Own it. Yes. You need to own that. HR Panda. That is right. That is yes. How you do that. So, all right. So that's how people can find you.
Yes.
Right? One final thought. One thing you want people who are going, who are transitioning from a student to a professional, especially in HR, what is the one thing they need to keep in mind?
I would like to say that if you are transitioning to a professional position from being a student, don't be afraid of an entry-level position. It's very important because, you know, you may be coming from, you know, working at Sam's in the accounting department or something, but you want to transition to be in HR. You may have to go and take an internship somewhere because you may not have any experience. And really that's what it requires is getting that experience and learning and, you know, taking an internship or, you know, becoming a coordinator because the coordinator is like a, you know, the lowest position, you know, right above internship. So just getting that experience. And because once you get your foot in the door, you know, your, you know, possibilities are endless, but you've got to get there first. So, you know, just don't be afraid there.
There you go. There you go. And JC, that is some sound advice. So, you know, it's the best thing you can do is go in there, get your feet wet, bust your ass, learn as much as you can.
Exactly.
That way people can notice you for what skills you have and they'll value you from there.
And that's good advice. I personally would just like to reinforce the highlighted needs of Cat Crafts. And I encourage everyone this holiday season to look those up and get involved. It's actually a real thing. It's a real thing.
Awesome.
Ricky, what do you got?
No, just running out of time here. So follow us at Podcast HR. We are on Facebook and Instagram at HR Top Podcast. You can call us at Texas, 501-8425, or email us at HRTalk@Biasco.com.
On behalf of Amanda and Ricky, this is JC walking you out the door. Everyone drive safe. Have a great night.